From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Musically, Nick Neihardt has been all over the place. He had a folk music phase, a Christian music phase. His latest band, called Pentagram Crackers, began as what he describes as country/punk. The name is a clue. At first, it was dark and funny music they were playing, but he says it began to change. And in their latest album, a theme emerged, writing songs for people on the losing end of society. Neihardt has said one day he woke up and he realized by certain standards he was a loser, but it made him proud. Says it freed him up, in fact. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music. The Pentagram Crackers are with us in studio to talk about life and losing, and of course, to play the music after the news. Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. Become a sustaining member of KUER for as little as $5 a month. You can do that online at KUER.org. And thanks. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are continuing our ongoing series on local music. We have with us in studio the Salt Lake City band Pentagram Crackers. If you need to get yourself oriented to the band, here's how the band founder Nick Neihardt described his musical style to us. Kind of twangy country punk. The name is a clue. At first, Neihardt says the music was supposed to be kind of funny and dark, but over time it has changed some, become more loud, more aggressive, he says. The music is driven by Neihardt's poetry, and in their latest album, a theme started coming through, music that celebrated the losers of society. We're going to talk about that idea and others with the band. Mostly they'll be playing today. We invite you to join us if you like. If you have comments or questions, 801-585-WEST is the number. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Nick Neihardt is with us on lead vocals and guitar. Nick, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you.
Maybe I should give people a visual. They're wearing makeup, scary makeup, because it is Halloween. Ryan Fedor is with us on guitar, sings backup vocals as well. Ryan, welcome to you.
Howdy.
We have with us Matt Honus, who plays bass. Matt, welcome.
Hey.
And Jesse Ellis is with us on the drums. Jesse,
hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Pentagram Crackers is playing a show tonight, we should say, along with four other bands at Bar Deluxe in Salt Lake City. They have a full-length album out, and we'll give you the details about that as we go along. Nick Neihardt, let's start with you. I wanted to get a sense of how you started thinking about the band itself. So you started with the idea, you were thinking anyway, country punk. That's kind of a, why that? Why does that work for you?
I love country music. I especially love like old school country music.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a lot of country songs.
Wow.
That were kind of hokey, and they were just hokey enough that they could fit with like a kind of a twangy punk set. And that's it. And I think that kind of country punk would be like a Salt Lake. It's kind of, I don't know. It seems like when I think of Salt Lake City music, that's kind of what I think of as like a kind of aggressive, twangy country style.
Yeah. Did you, at some point you discovered this New York indie band, that Silver Jews, and that kind of, you've talked about how that was kind of important in the way you were developing. How? Mm-hmm.
Just David Berman is like the front man, and he's an incredible writer. And so hearing his lyrics really inspired me to write, I don't know, in a different style than my solo record, I guess.
He's a poet too.
He is a poet.
Right? I mean, that's kind of how you see yourself too.
Yeah. I would say I'm a poet. And so it allowed me to just write a bunch of poetry and then to make it fit to my songs rather than trying to write the lyrics and the music together, I guess.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about sort of how your music developed. When did you figure that this was the band? You know, I mean, when did you...
I'm still not...
Is that right?
No, I'm just kidding. You know, I met Ryan through Eva's, I think, and then asked him if he wanted
restaurant?
To jam.
Yeah,
the restaurant.
We work. I assistant manage at Eva's.
Oh, cool.
He worked for a little bit there.
Yeah, before I was fired.
I had no part in that.
Yeah, right. Anyways, so we became friends and then started playing guitars together. And then I've known Matt for a long time. And then I don't even know how you started playing the drums, Jesse.
Yeah, it was the first, I guess, stage of this band was with Matt Crane when we started playing over at his house.
Yeah.
And
that's how it works, right? Is you just kind of play with each other, and at some point you figure you're a band. Is that
some people fall off, and they you know, they don't want to be in it, and then some people show up, and this is kind of how it formed, I guess.
Well, I want to talk about this theme because I want to get to some to the first piece, Mouthful of Gutters, because this seems to sort of, I don't know, Nick, sort of convey the theme that you've talked about, and it's this idea. What's more complicated than this? But it's kind of like music celebrating losers, or the perception of the idea of losers. When did this come to you, this idea?
I literally woke up one morning and it struck me. I was like, I'm a loser. And I was really, and like, not in like a negative sense, but in a really freeing sense. Like, I have nothing to lose because I really don't have anything to begin with.
Yeah.
And so with nothing to lose, you can really do whatever you like. And then...
So it freed you up.
It did. It freed me up. It was a good thing. It's not a negative thing. And then I began to think about, you know, other people who are like more destitute, or who are on like the losing end of the way that our society is structured. And I really wanted to speak to those people, to give them like maybe a voice, or just to provide some solidarity, you know, to like let them know that it's okay to be on the losing end, you know, and there's just nothing wrong with that.
This idea of struggling to make art, that's important to you.
I mean, this is
the concept, because you have been struggling.
I don't know if that's
art.
Important to me, or if that's just a reality of
my
life.
Yeah,
I don't
know
which is which, but it definitely is. You know, it's difficult to, I think it varies to degrees, but for me, it's hard to spend my time working jobs that, you know, like right now I work with little kids, and I love working with little kids. You know, and I have like a cool job at a restaurant, which I really dig, but I would rather be making art than doing those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are things that you have to do that take up a lot of time, you know, and there's been times when I've been working like four jobs just to try to get by and then have no time for my art. And so it's a definite struggle. Definitely.
I want to talk about some of the lyrics here. The one thing I sort of took note in all of them is the sort of poetic sense of, a literary sort of poetic sense, which I guess makes sense in some ways, but these are particularly poetic, and we'll talk a little bit about your poetry, I think, later as we go. But I gave God my book of life and told him he should read it. And in it, in the song, it says, you say you would find a boy with a mouthful of gutters. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. What do you mean I gave, and I don't have to be literal about this, but God and spirituality is something that comes through, or at least.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. So where did that line come from? What were you thinking about?
Well, it's kind of like, again, like being on the losing end, it's kind of like, you know, God just turned a deaf ear on a lot of people is what it seems like, you know? And then it's like, here's my life, my book of life, my story. And then he just put it on the shelf. And so you're just ignored, basically.
Yeah. Is it bitter?
It's not bitter. It's just reality.
Yeah. Maybe. A kind of a realization for you that maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's play it. Play it anyway. I'm not going to play it. Yeah, Mouthful of Gutters, Pentagram Crackers are with us. Nick Neihardt, Ryan Fedor, Matt Honus, and Jesse Ellis.
Book alive, told him countless whitewashed rooms with the same torn up taupe carpet and the same old whitewashed blues, same habits, the same space, same habits, the same old space.
Album Live from the Palace of Pain, Pentagram Crackers. We have Nick Neihardt with us on guitars, lead vocals. Ryan Fedor plays guitar, sings backup vocals. Matt Honus is on bass. And Jesse Ellis, who it just occurred to me, is the operations director at KCPW.
Right.
And we could, I don't know, are there public radio themes in the music? We'll talk about that maybe as we go along. Anyway, they're with us, and we should say they're playing tonight along with four other bands at Bar Deluxe in downtown Salt Lake City. Doors open at 8. Tickets are $5. We'll have more information about that, as well as a link to the band album, Live from the Palace of Pain, on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music with the Salt Lake City band Pentagram Crackers. Music can be a little dark, but it also reflects what band leader Nick Neihardt says is his take on life and art. Glitters of hope, also wilting beauty in this music, which you'll hear. With us, Nick Neihardt, lead vocals and guitar. Ryan Fedor plays guitar, sings backup vocals also. Matt Honus is with us. He plays bass. And Jesse Ellis is with us. He plays drums. They're playing tonight, by the way. We give the details about that a little bit later on the program. They're playing at the Bar Deluxe in Salt Lake City. They also have a full-length album out called Live from the Palace of Pain. You can get details about all of that on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. So I want to have you play a song called Dungeons and Dragons, which I kind of thought of, Nick, as a sort of like a memoir. Like, this is a song that's a memoir, not maybe about you necessarily, although I get a sense you're sort of constructing. Like, I can't tell, is this you? Or is this sort of the character that you've created?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's drawing definitely from my own experiences and then also substituting, you know, some other experiences with a character.
There's a kind of narrative going on in here.
But it's definitely a memoir. I think that's fair to say.
Is that right? I mean, because, so you talk about when you were young, you used to go with some kids and you'd play Dungeons and Dragons and you felt kind of cool and like, you know, invincible. And then it kind of moves along this part. And I wanted to ask you about this section because I know that you, you were with an evangelical church, a non-denominational one here in Salt Lake City for a time. You led worship. What does that mean? So you were a preacher, sort of?
I guess, kind of. Like, I just played all the music for the worship and kind of led the congregation.
Yeah.
Like that. For a long time.
Well, it got me thinking that, I mean, that part, there's the section where you talk about your mouth is preaching honey and stingers and one-line zingers. Mm-hmm. With God for a fist, you're going down swinging, groping for some meaning. What's going on there?
Well,
because you had a kind of falling out with Christianity. Is that
fair? I guess. I mean, it's like it's a therapy session. I did, and I think that's fair to say. That's that line is kind of reflecting that, and it's not a falling out as much as I just wanted to move on from that set of ideas, you know, and explore some other ideas. But as anything, like a big change. It takes a lot to change a belief system, to change anything that's deeply rooted in you.
Yeah.
It takes a lot, you know. And so I clung on to those set of beliefs very hard as I was going down, you know, trying to cling on to that, even as, you know, my spirit or my person was kind of growing and moving on to something different. And so that's like the whole song, I think, is about, like, you're young, you have this set of ideas, and, like, you think that, you know, everything is very black and white when you're young. You know, there's good things to do, there's bad things to do. You're rewarded for the good, you're not rewarded for the bad, you're punished, you know. And then as you get older, it's just life, the metaphor in there is it's like a watercolor picture that, you know, it's this beautiful picture and painting, and then you put it underneath the sink and all the colors just bleed together and they make this beautiful picture still, but it's not defined at all. And you kind of have to make your own, you know, a definition of it, I guess.
I mean, this line will come out to some people. You know, you talk about that myriad of color that, as you put it in the song, God puked up like a drunkard.
Yeah. And
I love that. I mean, because it's pretty intense. But there's this theme in here. There's this kind of arc in the song, and you kind of literally are coming back to life. There's kind of a Lazarus moment in the song where you, how do you put it? You're not dead, you're just sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And that's right on. It's just the Lazarus kind of thing where everyone thinks he's dead, but really he's just sleeping and you know, who knows what his dreams were. Maybe he was having this incredible dream and he was bummed out when Jesus woke him up.
Right.
Who knows?
There's a reference in here, and we'll maybe can come back to it, to a Sally Marks, a name that comes up a couple times in the album.
Yeah.
Is there really a Sally Marks?
There's not a Sally Marks. I wish there was.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's a character.
Great. Well, here it is, Dungeons and Dragons from Pentagram Crackers.
I used to go with some kids out to the schoolyard, and we would smoke cigarettes. We'd play Dungeons and Dragons, Magic the Gathering too. We thought that nothing could touch us. We'll be right back. we got older, life threw us some hits. Yeah, parents divorced, and my mother got sick. And now life's like a water color picture beneath the faucet in the sink, bleeding a myriad colors.
Graham Crackers is with us. That's the song Dungeons and Dragons. I feel like such a DJ when I go do these back IDs to these songs. They're with us. We continue our local music series. So I want to talk. This is from their album Live from the Palace of Pain, which we'll give you details about, by the way. You can get details about it on our website. But there are a couple of songs I want you guys to do that are just like kind of iconic punk songs. At least that's kind of the sensibility. You know, they're short bursts. They're driving. I want you to start with Depression, but Nick, I want to ask you a little bit about it first. Because Sally Marks shows up again in this one. And the story is somebody takes Sally to the dance and gets a little handsy, and her brother
beats him up.
Yeah. So it seems kind of funny, but then there's this kind of undercurrent of something that's not quite so funny in there too.
Yeah. It's kind of the whole thing is about losing a lover, I guess. And I went through a breakup, and then I wrote the song after I broke up with this girl.
Yeah.
And it
those
was
are always
so,
the best songs, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're
right.
In that really painful point.
Yeah, and it was just too traumatic. The whole experience was too traumatic to actually write like a real, literal song about it. So I wrote it kind of as a joke. But it was true. I mean, I was very depressed and reading Nietzsche and Kafka and stuff. You know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think that was the only way I could deliver a song about that.
Yeah,
you know?
Tongue-in-cheek. I get that. There's a great story that goes along with it where you end up sleeping in a parking lot behind Phillips Gallery.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
Yeah, I was just walking around the city like a maniac, and so sad that I've lost this person, you know, that meant a lot to me. And then I ended up going to Philip's gallery because I shared like this special night with this person there. And then I just laid down and slept in the parking lot. But then I woke up like in the middle of the night and I was like, well, a car might come in and just run me over without even seeing me. So I got up and I walked back home and I went to bed. But, you know, it was a dark time.
And shortly after you wrote this song?
And then shortly after, my friend Sam and I, we lived at this punk house. Everyone like would smoke cigarettes inside the living room and just ash on the carpet. And like we had the loudest shows I've ever seen have been in that living room. And so we would always play music and, you know, we kind of started jamming on the Velvet Underground kind of thing and singing about depression just as a joke.
That's the vibe, too.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, a fast Velvet Underground song, but we sometimes play it slow as well. So.
Well, here it is.
I mean, that's the story.
Here it is, depression. Graham Crackers from their album Live from the Palace of Pain. So let's go right into Man's Man, Nick, because you guys are warmed up anyway.
Yeah.
I think this is the shortest piece on the album, right? Like it's barely 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it comes with another good story.
Do you want to hear it?
I do.
All right. So the same punk house, we have a Christmas party every year. Just a bunch of nice fellas getting together. And I had my long hair back then, I think, and I had some flooded polyester pants and a red Christmas sweater. And the polyester pants fit pretty tight. You know, I looked pretty good, I felt like. And just sitting outside drinking a beverage. And these skinheads came by. And they started messing with me and my pal, Sam, again. And I'm not a fighter. You know, I'm not much of a fighter at all. I've never been into a fight. And he kept saying, like, he would smash my brains into the cement with his boots. And he was going to, like, you know, just basically kill me with his fists, pummel me to death. And so you know, I was basically humiliated by this guy, and I wouldn't fight him because I didn't want to get beat up. And his two friends were kind of sitting there. So everyone at the party, you know, they come out, and they tell the guy to go away, and he's still bugging everybody. He's like a tiger, like going and intimidating people and stuff. And then finally my buddy comes up to try to break up a scuffle, and the guy just cheap socks him right in the face and knocks him out cold, and then runs into his car and gets out. And, you know, it bruised my ego, definitely. And when I was younger, if I ever had a problem, you know, I remember this kid throwing snowballs at me, sitting there crying. He was an older kid, and my brother Chris went up and just punched him right in the face, and then just blood squirted everywhere. And that was basically Chris would always do it. My older brother would always kind of fight my fights for me, I guess. So I wrote a song that if Chris were only there, you know, what would have happened? And he's a big dude and led the state in technical fouls in high school. You know, yes. It's like this big, angry guy, I guess. So, you know, this is a song about him, I guess.
Great. Man's Man from Pentagram Crackers.
From their album Live from the Palace of Pain, Nick Neihardt on guitars, lead vocals. Ryan Fedor plays guitar, sings backup vocals. Matt Honus is on bass, and Jesse Ellis plays drums. Jesse also happens to be the operations director for the public radio station KCPW. The band is playing tonight along with four other bands at Bar Deluxe in downtown Salt Lake City. The doors open at 8. Tickets are only $5. You can get more information about that as well as a link to the band's recently released full-length album, as I said, Live from the Palace of Pain, on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take another break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio, back now with the band Pentagram Crackers. Nick Neihardt, Ryan Fedor, Matt Honus, and Jesse Ellis. They're playing a show tonight along with four other bands at Bar Deluxe in Salt Lake City. We'll give you the details about that as we go along. And they have a full-length album. You can get particulars about that on our website, too. It's called Live from the Palace of Pain. So I wanted to ask you, where do you figure, and all of you to this question, where do you figure the band is headed? I mean, do you see a kind of... Jesse, start with you. A kind of evolution where you're headed in terms of style?
Well, we're currently writing new songs right now, and it's interesting to see how they contrast with the other songs that we've written. And I do think we're evolving. I can't picture where it's going yet, but I can see that it's changing. And I also, in writing songs together, it seems to be happening a lot easier and flowing a lot better than it did.
Because you figured each other out.
Yeah, we know each other. We're better friends now, and you know, I think we're closer, and it's working really well right now.
Yeah. What do you guys think, Matt?
I'm really liking the new songs. Nick still, you know, brings the sketches, and then we flesh them out. But it seemed like a little more post-punky, which is cool.
Like 80s stuff?
Like late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
As well as the still like the 90s influence.
Yeah.
But post-punk is exciting because bass plays a bigger part in that.
Yeah.
So
good for you.
I get to show off.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you think?
We're kind of writing a little more collaboratively. We're in the past, I guess, a lot of time Nick would bring in these songs that were like done, pretty much. Yeah. We were playing a bunch of songs that Nick had already written, and we were just kind of adding parts, but now we're kind of all writing together as well. So it's a similar sound, I think, kind of cowpunk, twangy, cowpunk, rockabilly, kind of
Hank
surf,
Williams,
a little bit surf.
Hank Williams III coined that phrase, didn't he? Cowpunk.
I don't know.
I think he did. Oh. It's bad.
Country punk, surf punk.
Country punk.
Yeah. What's it like to start a band in the era of the internet where there's so much question about whether you can really make it? I mean, it must be. Do you worry about that? Do you think about that much, Ryan?
Here in Salt Lake, I feel like there's no pressure whatsoever because we're this weird city in the middle of nowhere, and bands since the 80s or 70s or whatever have just been happy to play here. I mean, bands like the Red Bennies have been around for like 20 years, and like they've been, I think, a huge influence on me, probably
they
Nick
do.
Too, and like, but they're happy to play and not worry about making it.
Yeah.
They just do their art and what they want to do, and that's enough. So that's kind of empowering, I think.
Nick, is that how you see it? I mean, this idea that it seems like that's something that's kind of a theme in some way to some of the, like, it doesn't matter, that idea of making it. What does that mean anyway?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. But I love the fact that Salt Lake is kind of insular and the music scene is like this really tight-knit community. But I don't like the fact that not a lot of bands tour out of Salt Lake City. Like, that's what I am wanting to do as much as I can is to get out of the city and to bring my music elsewhere, just to share my art with other people, as well as to make connections with other artists that are going to push, you know, me or these guys. And so while I do love that, like, bands, like, are these incredible bands play in Salt Lake all the time, I do, I want, like, our band to go and travel and to play, you know, a lot of shows out of town.
Yeah.
And to me, that, you know, if I could tour a lot, that would be just fine. That would be, like, making it with me, you know.
Wow. There's a song called Danger Blues on the album. Another sort of one of the shortest pieces on the album. This it has that same kind of driving vibe. It's one of your favorites, Nick?
Musically, it's one of my favorites. I don't know about lyrically or like the lyrical content, but I love just the song itself. I think is very delicate and contrasts well with all the rest of the songs on the record.
There's a bit, here's a lyric. Now you're dreaming hard, trying to rearrange the bits of chaos in every page of your book of life.
Yeah. I mean, that's a breakup song. It's another breakup
it's
song.
It's another
Doug.
Breakup
I hate
song.
I hate to admit it.
I picked all the breakup,
you know,
songs.
Yeah, you did. I'm beginning to know you, know, just by the song choice. Yeah, and it's just like when you break up with someone or when you have a major change again, it's like you have this loss and you have this big empty space and you have to just imagine what your future is going to look like without that person or without, you know, whatever you lost. That's a big deal, you know, and it takes a lot of dreaming, I think.
Yeah. Well, here it is, Danger Blues from the Pentagram Crackers.
Them from a book that I read. Danger blues, danger blues. catching the snow on my open mouth. It feels like a kiss coming steady now. I don't need it anymore. I don't need it anymore. Danger blues ahead. We're fed by the raven, our rotten sacrament. Danger blues ahead. Yeah, man, I'll take whatever I can get. I'll take whatever I can get. Danger blues ahead. The sun should be rising, but it's setting instead. And I swear that I prayed this day would never end. Yeah, man, it ends in a whisper. It ends in a whisper. Now you're dreaming hard, trying to rearrange the bits of chaos on every page of your book of life. Of your book of life. I'm seeing you there on the digital screen. I guess that's as close as I'll ever be. I'm not needed.
Danger Blues from the Pentagram Crackers. It's from their album Live from the Palace of Pain. It's a recently released full-length album, and we'll give you the details about that on our website. I wanted to ask you, Nick Neihardt, about... There's a story. You had written a piece about art that I read, and I wanted to ask you about it.
On my blog?
Yeah. Well, you,
no
I,
way.
Well, it's a story that you were writing about a student you were teaching. You gave him the name Sam. Wasn't... Probably his name.
It wasn't his
name. And he sort of spoke in kind of, you're teaching him to play. So you're teaching him this form of art, and he's speaking contemptuously about art.
Yeah.
It really bugged you.
It did. It did. Because it was during the same time that funding was being cut for like humanities departments, and art has always been, you know, funding for art has always been cut first, you know. And there's this big push in our society that's like very practical and pragmatic. It's like, well, business, mathematics, science, those are the things that are going to push our society, you know, and those are what's valued, especially, I think, in Salt Lake, because we're so, like, I don't know, right-wing a lot of the time. And so with this student, I was trying to teach him, and he was just pushing back on creativity and why creativity is valued. And he didn't see any value in creating art. And so my pushback was, if you don't have imagination, and art is the exercise of imagination, you can't imagine like a different future for yourself. You can't imagine a problem solving. Like imagination is used in every area of our lives. And so even just as a pragmatic point of view, to learn art is good. I mean, it will help you in all other areas and all other, you know, disciplines.
You say that without art, you become lackluster and vague, and your life will look like a housing development laid out on a grid system.
I said that.
You wrote that.
Well, there you go.
I like it. I mean, I like
that's the... That's very true, I think.
You agree with it or not, I mean, that's the notion. You're talking about how it gives lackluster and vague.
Like, I mean, look at a housing development. Do you see any ounce of art in a big suburban development? I don't, you know? It's all conformed to look exactly like the house next door, and... That just doesn't allow for any sort of individual expression, which I think is very important to human beings, you know.
Do you write every day?
I do, yeah.
When? Does it matter?
I mean, it does. Yeah. If I don't write before noon, generally or after midnight, I suck. But if I wake up, you know, I wake up in the morning and I write every day, and generally try to read a book of poems, you know, or study some sort of poetry in the morning as well.
Yeah. The Afterlife. I want to have you guys play. Where did this song come from?
This song was lit like right after I left, I think, the Christian church. And it's just about, it's not about suicide. It sounds like it would be about suicide, but really it's about killing yourself in order to find out if there is an afterlife or not. You know, and so again, it's a tongue-in-cheeky way of questioning the existence of God, you know, and that's it.
I don't want to keep coming back to the idea of spirituality, but it is a theme prevalent in your music. There's a song which I didn't have you play, but Noose for a Halo, which kind of gets at, sounds to me like you'd kind of disconnecting from your spiritual roots. And it seems to be that song kind of angry. It's about the expectations of religion, really.
Yeah, it's about not even religion. It's about the expectations that, you know, family and friends have placed on me that since I left that way of life, I guess I let a lot of people down that I didn't even know. But it's anger not at that. It's anger that, like, I'm living this beautiful life, you know, and I feel, like, more free than I ever have as far as my own personal spirituality. And I guess it's anger that, like, especially Noose for Halo is, like, angry that they aren't validating that and that they see me as, like, letting them down when in reality I'm just, like, I've grown, you know, so much. But I don't know if a lot of people would recognize that.
The Afterlife is the song. I'm having you play this. Let me just mention Pentagram Crackers is Nick Neihardt on guitars and lead vocals. Ryan Fedor plays guitar, sings backup vocals. Matt Honus is on bass. Jesse Ellis plays drums. He's also the operations director for the public radio station KCPW. They're playing tonight along with four other bands at Bar Deluxe in downtown Salt Lake City. The doors open at 8. Tickets are $5. We have more information for that as well as a link to their full-length album Live from the Palace of Pain on our website, radiower.kuer.org. I'll say Radio West is a production of KUER News. Our thanks to our engineer, Lewis Downey. Michael Havey mixed and directed the show today. The program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. And here they are, the Pentagram Crackers, The Afterlife.
I wanna kill myself, I'm gonna do it right. Gonna take a lot of pills tonight, oh Lord. Cause I'm curious about the afterlife, about God, the devil, and Jesus Christ. Guess I'll wake up.